not one singing lesson in her life. That's God. God is good. My name's Teresa Broom. My husband Chris and I lead the church here in Chicago. And I'm very excited to be here today with the women this afternoon. I really am. I'm looking forward to hearing Sonia speak. And most of all, I'm just thankful for God's grace and that He's giving us a new year. A new year to serve Him. A new year to pray, God, not my will, but your will. And a new year for us to see what God wants to do through His grace. And through us. On Wednesday night, we looked at how Jesus wept. And the definition of weeping means to cry or utter sounds of grief and sorrow. And we looked at how Jesus wept for a friend, Lazarus, in John 11. Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19, and He wept. Because He understood that within their lifetime, those who did not recognize that He was the Prince of Peace would come under an assault by Titus. 1.1 million Jews were slaughtered in that city. And many others were taken captive into slavery. And Jesus wept because He knew. And He said, if you only knew where peace comes from. But so many rejected Him. And you know, we're not promised tomorrow. We also looked at how Jesus wept in Gethsemane over the decision of going to the cross, going all the way, because He calls us as followers to go all the way. Nothing less would ever do. And when we go all the way, sometimes it gets uncomfortable. Sometimes there's a little shake-up, a little persecution. And believe it or not, but so much of the persecution in the first century was brought about by teenagers. Because let me tell you something, teenagers don't hold back. If they like a singer, you're going to know about it. You're going to see the posters plastered in the room. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear them singing. And so we were challenged to think, when was the last time you wept like Jesus? Not for ourselves, but for something Jesus would weep about. Because it's so easy for our hearts to get hard. And then the challenge for all of us, and I want to put it out here again today, is if you haven't already, in the next week, think of a day where you can fast. A fast just to go to God, to be alone with God, to soften your heart. It doesn't necessarily have to be food. Maybe it's a dessert. Maybe it's soft drinks. Whatever. Think about it. But I challenge all of us to get close to God and to be bonded with the Prince of Peace, to be one with Him. Luke 21:39. The Bible says Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. And I love this. You could almost stop right there, and it's like this was what He did as usual. This was His custom. This was His norm. It was to go to God. His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and in his sweat was like drops of blood. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you do not fall into temptation." You know, to me it's amazing how they fell asleep out of their sadness, out of sorrow. They were so sad that they just fell asleep. And I think it's normal to do that. You get overwhelmed, you start feeling sad. You know, to weep and to mourn takes a tremendous amount of energy. And who knows what they were thinking? But Jesus, it says, he prayed more earnestly, being in anguish. So he was feeling even more sadness and more pressure. But he prayed. And he prayed on his knees. And you know, in my flesh, I think, am I like Jesus? Because when hard times come, and they will, and they do, and last year, not so much directly with me, but in the case of my husband, his grandmother died. He was very, very close to her. That's something to mourn about. And I thought, are my kids seeing my example of praying on my knees? Are they seeing that? And I thought, not enough. They're not seeing it enough. I'm not on my knees like I should be. And even this morning, because the window, I had the blinds open, so I went in the bathroom. Because Jesus said, shut the door and pray. You know, you're praying in private. And so I did that, and then my daughter comes, "Mom, what were you doing in the bathroom with the lights off?" I'm like, I'm praying to God. You know, I need to be praying on my knees. Last night I put the girls to bed and I got on my knees and prayed for them, and they were out cold in about 30 seconds. Just didn't take long. But you know, I need to be on my knees, because to me what that shows in Jesus' heart is his humility. He was humble before the Father, and therefore he was able to weep because there was so much empathy. And in Hebrews 4, the Bible says, verse 14, "Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet is without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Do you have a time of need? I don't know about you, but I got a time of need today. I had a time of need this morning. When I look at Jesus and his weeping, when I look at the empathy, the tears that he would shed for people, for his friends, when I look at that sacrifice, and then when I think, he did that for me, yeah, there's a certain joy, and absolutely, there is a profound gratitude in me. But then I look at my life and I think, I fall so short. I hurt people. Often unintentionally, but nonetheless, I hurt them. Because I don't have that same level of empathy. Because I get impatient with weakness. Sometimes I've been impatient with my kids. And those of you who know me best, sometimes I've been impatient with you. And I want to say, I pray that you would forgive me. I need to go to God to have Jesus' heart of humility and to be more empathetic and to be more loving and to be more patient and to see it is a time of need. I'm one of those people that's wired in such a way that sometimes I feel like I don't need anything. As a young woman growing up with so much violence around me, I said, for sure I don't need a man. That's the last thing I need. And I've been married almost 15 years, and sometimes my husband will say, oh, let's go on a date. And I said, I don't need a date. Then I know I'm really doing bad. You know, I need patience. I need empathy. My husband is dieting. And I need to be a suitable helper to him, to really help support him and to be considerate and to think about him. And when I'm shopping, you know, what am I going to buy? How am I going to help him? How am I going to support him and not sabotage him? I was up last night watching the Larry King show, and they had people from The Biggest Loser. And the one thing they all said in common, all these people who've lost weight and been successful, is that they needed accountability. And they needed people in their family that would help them. And honestly, women, to my shame, I have not always been that for Chris. Honestly, sometimes I've been his worst critic. And instead of supporting him more, I've been like, oh, gee, what diet is it now? Or blah, blah, you know what I mean? Just critical. And yet God says that we as Christian women should respect our husbands. I need more patience. I don't know about you. You know, in 1 Peter 5, God says he opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let us therefore humble ourselves and let's cast our anxiety on him because he cares for us. I am a sucker for God's love. Recently, I watched The Nativity, the movie about Mary giving birth to Jesus, and I was losing it because it's such a simple and pure story. And when my mom saw it, she said, that's a young woman who at a young age knew what she wanted. She wanted to serve God. And I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter how old you are. I don't know how old Mary was. It's presumed that she was a teenager, probably about 15. But she served God. You can make decisions that you can live for, and 10, 20, 30, till the day you die, you can still serve your God, even if you've made decisions at a young age. It just takes maturity. And finally, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So I'm thankful for the cross today because even though I see God, I am a wretched sinner. Because of my sin, you didn't deserve to go to that cross. I'm the one who deserved to go to that cross. But God, you took that punishment for me. So therefore, God, help me not only to be grateful, but help me to see my sin the way you would see it. Because God hates sin. And no matter where I'm at in striving to be like Jesus, like Jesus said, learn from me. And I commit this as a year to learn from Jesus. And then in doing it, okay, God, if Jesus is humble and gentle, then as far as I am from that, but I pray you'll bring me a little closer this year. A little closer to that heart of gentleness and humility for the good of more people too. Because you were willing to do that. Let's pray as we take communion together. Heavenly Father, just thank you for Jesus' incredible sacrifice. There really are no words, God. We don't deserve what he did, what he pained himself, his blood, his tears. But God, I pray that we'll be grateful, and I pray, God, that we'll learn to love what you love and to hate what you hate. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in